one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him."
It's been probably about 15 years since I've stood up here. I can't say it's any less daunting.
About 2004, that's when I've last been a youth worship here. Now, I can define to you what patience is by telling you what it is not. Definition by negation. I have spent about a decade working in the food service industry. To put this into perspective, I've also worked just as long in youth ministries and young adult children ministries. If you want patience, don't go to that group. Go to the food service industry, because there is nothing that a youth person has on impatience when compared to that 50-year-old vacationer who wants to know why their well-done burger is still not done after 10 minutes. We live in this world of immediacy. I can pull out my phone, which I apparently set down where I didn't think about it. I can pull out my phone, and I can order a pizza, and it will be here in 20 minutes. Before the pizza even hits the oven, the driver will already be paid and tipped. I could also do something like mention Balthasar Hubemeyer, and you can all go, "Who is that?" and then stop listening to me as you pull out your smartphones to look at Wikipedia. Now, I'm going to head this off just a little bit to tell you that he was a very early Anabaptist, well known as being a moderate pacifist, and ran into trouble with Ulrich Zwingli. I'm going to start going down the rabbit hole. Ulrich Zwingli, of course, was the well-known reformer in Zurich, who his theology was both the progenitor and the earliest antagonist of the first Anabaptists. We're going to stop here now. I've made my point. If you have any further questions, I'm happy to talk about it afterwards. I love theology and history at that. And you, of course, could always use the old Google. Now, this is both a new and an old problem. Over the last few centuries, we have shrunk the world. It used to take months to ship a single letter across the sea, and more months to get across the continents. And now I can pull out this phone in my hand, hit send, and my note to Beijing will be there near instantly. And this still is not enough for us. We're coming to this thing called 5G technology. And what's amazing about it, and also a little frightening, is we've shrunk down latency times. In easy terms, latency is the moment that you hit a button on a computer to where it registers what the command is and it does what you're asking it to. So we are now shrinking latency times down to less than a second and a half. That's the amount of time it takes the human brain to realize that we've given it a command. It will appear faster than what we are able to process it as appearing. Instantaneous. Now, this, of course, means that we all have more time to relax and do what we want, right? You had the proper response. None of us have time. Anytime we have free time, we have to fill it. We are a productive people by nature. We have lawn work to do. We have another club to take part of. We have a new, as they call it, side hustle to make a little extra money. And heaven forfend if this tight schedule that we build ever gets messed up. Whether it's because that printer is slow and hasn't received the document you sent 10 times. Or it's that new barista who is struggling to make your, and I have to quote this, half caramel, half vanilla latte, decaf espresso heated to 100 degrees with non-fat milk and a drizzle of caramel. Or that greatest of all sins when you're sitting behind the car and the light's been green for 5 seconds. Okay, okay. What, if at all possible, does today's reading have to do with our world of immediacy? All right, we're going to have to, I'm going to have to take a couple steps back, and we're going to have to get some new language in here to find what we're looking for. Okay, so we've already started discussing the Sabbath. You know that it comes out of the Torah, the law. And you can see this ongoing discussion through the different books of the Hebrew text as the Hebrews struggle with what Torah, what this Sabbath means and how they're supposed to follow it. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we have the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Essenes. They're all arguing among different ways we interpret the law, and the Sabbath is a big one. Jesus' comments could be understood as a continuation of this eon-old argument. All right, so we come to the text. Now, of course, there are Pharisees hanging around of Jesus. They always just seem to be there for some reason. And as Jesus and his disciples are walking along the field, I picture my little two-year-old, and she walks along and, oh, stick, stick. You know, we aren't told why they are picking grain. They just do. And these Pharisees, I like to imagine the world in funny ways, so bear with me. They're like a bunch of high society Victorians, gasping, shielding their eyes from this social, religious faux pas. Jesus, do you see what they're doing? They are harvesting on the Sabbath. Why are they being so unbiblical? Whenever you see unlawful, you could say unbiblical. You're their rabbi, you know better. Okay, so they knew better. I mean, these were Jews, after all. These were disciples of a Jewish rabbi. They were all born Jews, as far as we know. It wasn't a surprise. Sabbath happens every week on the seventh day, on Saturday. Friday night through Saturday evening, Sabbath. They knew that. Even if they weren't the most observant Jews, they would have known this. Now, as I said, I like to imagine things kind of odd, funny ways. And Mark, and it was funny because I got to see that I know there's at least one person in agreement with me on this. Jesus is a sigher and an eye roller. I imagine Jesus hears these disciples. Okay. Let me tell you about David. And he tells him about David. Let me explain the Sabbath again for all of you. And guess what? I'm going to heal this guy in front of you. Jesus challenges their preconceptions of what Sabbath is. Now, we don't seem to have this problem in our day. Most blue laws have been struck down. I can tell you, as someone who has been a youth pastor, youth leader, Sunday school teacher, there is more than often enough, you know, I cannot get a date where I can get every youth there because they've got soccer practice on Sunday morning or work. You know, it used to be that I could not leave here and go to the liquor store to pick up a bottle of wine to relax after church. I'm not saying I do or I don't. I'm just referring. This is a point. But you can do that today, and you couldn't have done that, actually, even 5 years ago in many places in Pennsylvania. We have the opposite problem of the Pharisees. We are very loose in Sabbath. We have gone from the restrictive to the overly relaxed. Now, Jesus doesn't prop this up either. Jesus is not in for the loosey-goosey Sabbath. Jesus is the master of Sabbath. Now, when I say master here, yes, the Lord God's master, all that too. But I'm also saying master as in, if you were to teach a class, Jesus would be the top ninja of finding Sabbath. It's the end of a busy day. Everyone's exhausted. The disciples have been managing crowds all day. Jesus has been teaching and healing. The crowds have finally left. They have just eaten dinner. And Peter turns, "Hey, Jesus, it's your turn to do the dishes." "Jesus? Jesus?" "Hey, Bartholomew, where'd Jesus go?" Now, Bartholomew doesn't say anything. He just shrugs because Bartholomew never gets any lines. Yes, Jesus has snuck off again. He goes off and he finds a quiet hillside or some woods where he prays. Maybe he goes and he takes a nap in some random person's boat. Or he takes a walk along, or he's Jesus, a walk on top of the river to quiet his mind. Now, I'm not saying it's okay to skip out on doing the dishes. If it's your turn, do the dishes. But Jesus, he's telling us there's this middle path between this overly restrictive and this overly relaxed. When we are able to remove those two things and find the other R-E word, restorative. He finds restorative time to spend with the divine. Now I need to make one more switch, because we're talking about an ancient Hebrew culture, and I need to switch to a more Western ideal. And of course, we go to the Greeks. Now, I have two words from the ancient Greeks. The first is chronos, and I'm going to enjoy my natural geekiness for a moment. Yes, also the name of the homicidal father of Zeus, but also time, click-clock time. Those are chronometers. They are measures of time. The other one is kairos. Kairos is opportune or proper time. Chronos is 25 to 30 minutes at 300 degrees. Kairos is when you pull it out and it's golden brown and delicious on top and the toothpick comes out clean. Chronos, as was explained to me by Dr. Williams, my preaching and worship professor at LTS, Chronos is the due date for the baby. Kairos is when the baby comes. I missed the next class because Grace was 7 days early. Kairos has one other connotation, which is really important now. Kairos is sacred time. Kairos is the amount of time that you pause during a prayer. Kairos is the speed at which we come to each part of the worship. We don't watch our clocks and go, "We are 5 minutes behind getting to the call." It comes when it's supposed to come. As a species, we of course live in both realms. We like rules and we don't want to be restricted. We have our schedules and spontaneous. And we have it penciled in between 2 and 5, spontaneity. There's a reason God had to tell us to keep the Sabbath. We are not good at it. But then Jesus reminds us that Sabbath was made for us, and we were not made for Sabbath. Sabbath is a gift for spiritual, mental, and physical health. We like to think that we can do it all, and we don't need to find time to be restored in God. We are like the toddler who loves to play with her truck, despite the fact she really needs a nap.
I know I encountered Sabbath recently and rather unexpectedly. Grace just turned 2 on the 8th. And I was in charge of picking up the cake and the balloons, neither of which you can pick up the day before the birthday. You have to pick it up the day of the birthday. You know, balloons. Anyway. So I left for the store on time, but I got there late. I used GPS, but I missed a turn. Twice. I blame New Jersey traffic rules. If you've ever driven in New Jersey, you'll understand what I mean. Anyway, so I got there, and I go in, and I get in line. It's very unclear. I have to pick up 2 kinds of balloons, some that are already ready, and some that I have to hand to them to fill up. It's very unclear how this is supposed to work, so I end up in line. It moves very slowly, and I finally get the first half of my balloons. And then I am told I have to select the other ones and go back to the back of the line again. Okay, I can do this. I wait, and I'm watching the girl who's filling the balloons over in the corner. Only 2 people, one at the register, one at the balloons. Actually, no, I didn't wear a watch. There we are. Finally get through that line, finally get my balloons to the girl who's filling the balloons. 2 people in front of me, everyone's got like 15-some balloons to fill. I timed her, 1 minute to 1.5 minutes to do 1 balloon. Now, I learned 4 things from this experience. 1, I should have put the first order of balloons in the car while I was waiting. It was a lot of balloons. 2, the maximum number of balloons I can safely have in my car. It was less than what I got. 3, an experienced balloon filler, say the manager who finished her inventory or whatever she was doing, can fill a balloon in 10 seconds flat. That's empty to on a string and floating in less than 10 seconds. And 4, it reminded me that as stressed as I was about the time, the only thing I was doing was making myself unhappy. And I can't even blame New Jersey jug handles for that one. Now, everything worked out fine in the end. Grace had a wonderful birthday party. She got her nap in, she was happy, great time. And the kid got there with only minor damage. Now, I'm looking back, and I am really glad that I ended up waiting for those balloons. It was a really stressful day, as I'm sure anyone who has ever had to plan a party has had those stresses, especially when you're also expecting the toddler to agree to your schedule. Kronos had my time written out. I knew when I needed to get places. Because after all, I had to pick up these balloons, drive 20 minutes in New Jersey traffic to pick up the cake, and another 30 minutes in New Jersey traffic to get home. If you haven't gotten the point yet, New Jersey traffic stresses me out. But instead of having to rush off to this next 20 minutes of stressful driving, I got to sit there and read a delightful article on Revelation. I'm a theology geek, I accept it. And by the time I finally finagled those 30 plus balloons into the back of my little car, I was in a much better place emotionally for the next part of my journey. It was the wrong Kronos, but it was the right Kairos. It takes balance to live our lives. Too much Kronos and our life becomes tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock strict. Gotta get everywhere on time. Can't deal with anything that throws off that schedule. You know, I'm happy when they stick to that schedule if they're doing some surgery on me. But in most life, it's okay to live in that in-between space where we're not that strict. Of course, too much Kairos isn't exactly helpful either. We do have things we have to do in our lives. And you can't go pick up your kids when you feel like it when school ends at 3. The same goes with our Sabbath keeping. It's meant to be restorative. If we're overly restrictive, if we're like the ancient Pharisees who write oodles and oodles and oodles of rules, it's no longer restful. if we're like we so often are now, and we don't find that time to meditate, to pray, to come to worship, to Bible study, to take a walk, then we aren't being restored either. So, as you head out today, and I'm sure most of us, as we are in this society, are living in Kronos for the most part, are dealing with your business day today, and your schedule gets knocked off. Remember, it's not oak concrete. It's okay. Breathe. Don't panic. Look around, smell the flowers, have a little prayer. Pray for a friend. Pray for the jerk who's waiting 5 seconds after that light has turned green. Your Kronos may have been jostled, but that may have been because you have now had a moment of Kairos, the appropriate moment to enjoy a sacred space, a breath. Kronos always reinserts itself. Kronos always marches on, and it will come back. And as your life moves back forward, you get to take that small breath, that small moment of unscheduled Kairos Sabbath with you as you encounter the next moment of your day. Thank you.